What shall we discuss tonight? Emotions and Krishna consciousness. Oh, I like that. Okay. What questions can I ask tonight? How do you think your emotions manifest in Krishna consciousness? I mean, right now, where you're at. How are your emotions manifested? I'm asking these questions because we're going to read from Nectar of Devotion about the characteristics of someone in ecstatic love. And you're going to see that in all stages of our spiritual development, emotions are involved. But in the stage of ecstatic love, the emotions, they're all focused intensely on Krishna's service. And in the stage of conditioned life, the emotions are all focused very intensely on trying to be the enjoyer, struggling and suffering, imagining what happened. The emotions are all tied up with those kind of pursuits. But tell me, how do your emotions manifest right now in Krishna consciousness? Trying to say that you pass your days in Krishna consciousness without emotion?
That's
not true. That's not true. Emotions are always a part of life. In the spiritual world, there are emotions. In the material life, there are emotions. So how can you pass your days in Krishna consciousness without emotion? What do you get angry at?
I want to do some service. Some other devotees will be getting late. And I suffer.
What else? What else? What do you feel during your day of devotional service? What do you feel?
Sometimes in the morning, I feel the devotion on the night, you know, like morning prayer, I'm feeling, not always, but sometimes, you know, like robot-like, you know, like...
Robot-like? What?
I don't know.
Why do you feel robot-like? Like a robot, why is that? We feel mechanical in devotional service when we're not putting our hearts into what we're doing. When you put your heart into what you're doing, then you can start to feel what Krishna consciousness is about. Now, just think about the things in life that you've sunk your heart into before. Who here hasn't had a heartfelt experience that you've sunk your heart into something? Anyone? You've never had that. Who's never had that? Tell me some things you've sunk your heart into in the past. Oh, what's that? Yeah.
Relationship.
the relationship. Saving children. Yeah. Will you put your heart to studying for an exam? Who said that? Put your heart to it. Learn this stuff. Any other? So everybody knows what it feels like to put your heart into something. I mean, you really get into it. That's what you have to do in terms of practicing Krishna consciousness. Put your heart into the morning program. Don't just go to the morning program like a machine. You're grateful to be there. You're glorifying Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the path of bhakti yoga is correct, if you put your heart into it, that's not faking it. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional service pleases Krishna. You put your heart into the morning program and you will feel the reciprocation from Krishna. Tell me when you put your heart into something in material life. What does it feel like? What did you do that you put your heart into in your conditioned life? So you really got into it, right? Yeah, right? So, you cannot put that same energy into devotional service? Why not? Come alive in Krishna service. Celebrate every morning. That's not your nature. Try it. You have so many things to be happy about. Into devotional service, it will become mechanical. It will seem like that. And that's very dangerous because then you're going to start to look to material desires for excitement and heart absorption. You understand? This is a big mistake that devotees make as they pass through the beginning years of Krishna consciousness. You know, when you first come to Krishna consciousness, the newness of the whole thing overwhelms you. But after a while, if you're not careful, you start, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. And you start just taking things in a real mechanical way, casual way. Yeah, I've done this before. You gotta watch that. Sometimes I used to tell myself, what would I do if I was really excited about what I was doing? I've got to give at least as much as I did give for things in my material life. Give at least that much to Krishna. Just like this person back here mentioned, putting the heart into studying for exams. Well, that means for devotional service, you've got to put at least that much into devotional service. Preferably more, but at least you've got to do as much as you did in material life in terms of enthusiasm and dedication. If you're not doing that, then Krishna knows you're holding back. I'm sure you've heard the expression that Krishna looks more at what you're holding back than what you're giving. So you should try this. Everybody should try this. Krishna consciousness is what you make it. Now, why do you have to make it into a drudgery? You know what a drudgery is? A drudgery means make it into a same old, same thing every day.
Okay, go to the temple now. Now I'll do my service. Now I'll chant. Hare Krishna. Now I'll read Bhagavad Gita.
We make Krishna consciousness like that. That's not very wonderful for us or others. You can turn your own Krishna consciousness around just by putting your heartfelt enthusiasm into it. Especially older devotees have to watch this. You see, when you're young in Krishna consciousness, spiritually young, the newness, the material novelty of the situation is there. But as you get older, familiarity breeds contempt, and you start taking everything for granted. Same old place, same old people, same old activities. That's due to material contamination, familiarity, taking things for granted. The older devotees should always look at some younger devotees with enthusiasm and try to take that enthusiasm. And the younger devotees, with their enthusiasm, should always look for older devotees with wisdom and try to take the wisdom. So what we need to do is combine the wisdom with the enthusiasm. Now the older devotees have to be careful about this. Losing an enthusiasm, losing a freshness. There's something wrong. It means you're not giving of yourself anymore. Just like in a relationship, a serious relationship. When one of the partners doesn't give of themselves anymore, then things start to really get stale. We have any older householders here? Yeah. Generally, isn't that so? That when one of the, either the husband or wife stops giving, then things really start to get dry, right? And then probably they usually catch themselves, right? And realize, hey, this relationship's going to go on, we've got to give. It's the same thing like that in devotional service. You've got to catch yourself from time to time. Check yourself out. Are you still actively trying to give to Krishna? It is that spirit of giving to Krishna that keeps everything fresh. So if you're starting to feel mechanical and dry and robot-like, as you say, do something special for Krishna. Go out of your way to do something special for Krishna. It's the same in a material relationship. If the relationship starts getting predictable and dry and stale, if you do something special for the other person, all of a sudden some that magic comes back. Do you have experience? Is he happy too? Oh, no. That would be a surprise. What was that, 25 years ago? Quarter of a century ago? When he was a brahmacharya?
Yeah.
That was the message, that was the trap. Yeah, so I guess it worked, huh? Can you tell us about it? This is an example of emotions in Krishna consciousness. Relevant to the subject matter. Can you tell us? I've known her husband since 1975 or something like that.
I think what was special about it is that at the time that I was writing Sarasvati back then, I thought it was just supposed to do, but there was supposed to be a difference.
Oh, you were already,
Yeah, kind of. And then and I thought it was just something I was supposed to do, but Rabbi Brahma Shrein told me that that's what you should do.
Oh,
but
so he wasn't wearing saffron at that time?
No. He
was in the contemplation stage, the after contemplation stage.
But the emotion part of it was just something that actually, unfortunately, it really actually worked for me, but my husband turned out to be like a spiritual master.
We can apply the same thing in our service to Krishna. Do something special for Krishna. Don't let yourself settle into a rut in devotional service. It's very dangerous because then you'll start looking to the material energy for excitement and reciprocation. Sometimes you may have heard it said by old devotees. All right, enough of this. You know, we got to kind of live our own life and just kind of look elsewhere for some enlivenment. That means you cease to try to do something special for Krishna. You let your relationship with devotional service go slack. It becomes stale because you're not putting your heart and efforts into it. It can happen with book distribution. It can happen with any kind of service. It becomes very mechanical. Like Al knows in the kitchen, right? If you don't put your heart into it, it can, you know, seem very repetitive, right? Every day, the same place. Every day, you go in there and, you know, the tools, the kitchen equipment is, you know, not in its place. Every day you got to deal with that. How many days, how many times have I told these guys to put this stuff back where it belongs, right? Oh, he never puts it back, huh? Huh? Roberto, you can't remember to put things back? Okay. So, just like Al's kitchen service, if he's not putting his heart into it, it will just seem, you know, after a while, it'll be, you know, a struggle. All right, I gotta do it. Yeah, it's what I'm supposed to do. And sooner or later, he's gonna become very brittle. Brittle means very, like, what?
Like
no. It's so hard that you can snap. Like peanut brittle. Frito. Frito y tostado. So, become toasted and fried, I guess. So, because your heart becomes hard, so it's easy to break, you know? Not this, you just snap, you know? So you always have to be trying to render loving devotional service. But I can do the same thing. All right, another evening program. How many times I got to tell these guys the same thing? I could be reading, you know, Radha and Krishna. Here I gotta be talking about these things. How many years have I been doing this? I mean, I was here in 1975 saying the same things. Here I am a quarter of a century later and I'm still saying the same things. I'm not gonna listen anyway. I should be moving on to something else. I could be like that. But no. Instead, I'm praying to Krishna, please give me a chance to serve you and thank you for allowing me this opportunity to glorify you and your devotional service. What I found, and you might find this helpful, what I found is you always have to accompany your service with prayers to the Lord. Please let me surrender some service to you. Even make this heartfelt offering to you. Then you'll find things come alive. If you combine that attitude with doing something, going out of your way to doing something special for Krishna in your service, you'll always be fresh. But you have to beg Krishna, please let me put my heart into this service. Oh, wow. It's very easy to always find something special you can do for Krishna within your daily service. Okay, you're going to come before the deities and recite a prayer that you've learned. You're going to come before the deities and pray for their mercy to render devotional service. You can recite prayers, learn and recite prayers from the Shastra. You can make a special effort to offer your dancing to the deities. You're dancing in glorification of the deities. That's your offering. You can make a special effort to pay attention in class. Are you always completely attentive at every moment? So you can make a special effort to pay attention more in class. These things are part of affection. You can make a special effort to recite the verse, chant the Sanskrit verse in class. You can make a special effort to hear the translation and purport. That's association with Krishna. These are all things you can do. You can make a special effort during Tulsi Puja to sing the prayers very nicely. So much room for heartfelt expansion in the morning program. And we're just talking about one part of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is the best thing to put your heart into. And this is what we're all looking for. We're looking for an opportunity to put our heart into something deeply. We try to do that in material existence and we get so frustrated. Things look like they're going to be good. Yeah, I'll put my heart into this. And it turns out, you know, to be a disaster or a real ordeal or unsatisfying or empty. But in bhakti, you can put your heart into that fully, and your heart will grow. Your spiritual heart will expand. Even in disappointment. Sometimes we try to do something for Krishna and it doesn't work out. But even those feelings of disappointment in Krishna's service are spiritual and will expand your heart. That's why for a devotee, there's never any defeat. So you get a bit of a vision now, what you can do? Yeah. Learn some prayers offered to the poor. Or form yourself into a preacher of Bhagavatam. Yeah. There's so much room to show devotion. The more you come alive with these heartfelt offerings to the Lord, the more you'll be Krishna conscious. It's all about absorption. It's a common problem that, well, yeah, I'm doing all the things I should be doing. I'm going through the motions, doing my routine. Don't let bhakti become like that. That's dangerous. Then you'll start looking to the material energy for opportunities to be excited about something. We all like to be excited about something, you know? If you don't become excited about the nine processes of devotional service, then you'll leave yourself open to be excited about material desires. You know what I find exciting every morning? Chanting japa. It's a real challenge every morning, a real opportunity to show love for Krishna. So if you know what I'm doing during Mangal Arati besides singing the song, during Mangal Arati I'm singing the song. And at the end of Mangal Arati, right before the doors close, on the altar, I'm begging the deities, right before the doors close, please let me chant next time. It's the last thing. Thinking as the door is closed, get a last glimpse of Rukmini Dwarkadesh. Please, let me chant japa nicely. My heartfelt, desperate prayer. That's really exciting. And then, japa starts, and you know. Sometimes I think, oh, how will I ever concentrate this morning? But then, it's like mystical. You just start trying to offer the Maha Mantra to the Lord, and gradually your concentration takes over. So I stop to wonder about it. Let's get into it. It's really exciting, you know? Sometimes while I'm chanting, I'm thinking, best I can do, Krishna, please accept this. You never think they're chanting nicely. You never think you're going to be able to pat yourself on the back and not be chanting nicely. You'll always think it's not good. And in that humble mood, you'll try to offer your chanting to Krishna. My dear Lord, I know this is not good, but it seems to be the best I can do. Please accept this offering and help me to do better. It's exciting. This is bhakti. Why do we make it just such a mechanical thing? What do you say? Why do we make it such a mechanical thing? You've been around for so many years. Since when? There we are. Oh, you can't be here after I know this work. So what to do about that? Oh, definitely. You can't chant in the temple because of your... So how do you cope with that mind going one way and the chanting going the other way? No, get emotional about it. You know how to be emotional.
Yeah,
you know how to do that.
Why am I wasting my whole stupid life doing something but not putting my mind and my heart into it?
But the way you get emotional about it is you cry out to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama.
Yeah, that's the gift. You put it in the spirit of the ground by Krishna.
Yeah.
That's that frustration.
Your hopelessness. Not frustration, your hopelessness. Yeah. Cry out to Krishna.
Whatever is available, whatever emotion is available to you, that utter it should give that to Krishna.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not an important book.
So what are you going to do to make your japa exciting again? The exciting thing is your effort. Recommit yourself to a daily process of trying to chant the holy name with attention. That's exciting. all the things you got excited about doing when you were a young devotee, they're still exciting, you know, in case you haven't noticed. That's a change. Maybe, you know, the ultimate, maybe we have changed, but the thing hasn't changed. It's still exciting, so, you know. Why not? Go at it with the same freshness that you have when you were young devotee. Wake up in the morning, hey, I'm going to be chanting Hare Krishna this morning. You were probably like that when you were a young devotee, right?
Yeah, I can. I know that I still like that.
Yeah, I do. I do. So, there's no reason. This is my point. There's no reason to emotionally make Krishna consciousness boring. It's a very exciting process, but we specialize in making it boring. You ever run across the street to see the deities? Anyone else can comment on emotions in Krishna consciousness? What? How do you get emotional in Krishna consciousness? Sir, what? Krishna better. That's true. You're hankering to be able to serve Krishna better. You're feeling that Krishna deserves more. And people, the suffering people, deserve Krishna consciousness. You actively meditate like that, begging Krishna, how can I spread your glory? Show me what I can do. And of course, there are already things you can do. My point is that Bhakti Yoga is the perfect emotional expression. Anyone else? Worried about what? You should fear Maya. That's a good, that's proper use of fear in Krishna consciousness. Yes, you should be fearful of falling into Maya. So the Prabhupada once very charitably said that that's the only difference between his disciples and him. That he's always praying to Krishna, please don't fall into Maya. So yes, he said that. He said that. The devotees, they don't fear Maya enough. You should fear the illusionary. That's a proper use of fear. It's not bad, it's good. It's bad to have no fear of Maya. This is a tough one in California, Southern California. Easily get out of touch with the fact that material life is suffering. Something else. Delude themselves very easily. noteworthy. In any case, you should fear for him. That's a proper emotional use of fear. You should fear wasting your energy for the life. You should fear that if I die and I'm not Krishna conscious, that's good. That's a good use of fear. Emotions in Krishna consciousness. How do you get emotional in Krishna
consciousness? Trying to show Krishna consciousness to somebody and get distribution of the devotees and just and see.
Get upset because they're suffering and you can't help them.
Oops. That was just a thing that I'm right.
It's not that you are right, it's that Krishna is right. You're presenting what Krishna is saying. Of course he knows that. Yes, I know, but I know it. It's just being humble. I know it. I also, I see anyone who sees how people are willfully suffering, willfully committing suicide, willfully drinking poison. Yes, it's really a tough thing to swallow, you know. Real compassion means even though they are purposely destroying themselves, still you go on trying to help. That's real compassion. But it's tough at first. Your spiritual compassion has to grow into this. To be able to tolerate seeing people smashing their own throats and still go on trying to help them. That's when you really have compassion. Usually you think, well, I'll try to help somebody, but hey, they're going to cut their own throat. Why should I even care at that point? That's their problem. But no, even when they're cutting their own throats, still you're trying to help. That is real compassion. The Sankirtan devotees have to break through to that level. And then you're preaching, your distribution will really go to another level. Even though I know you're cutting your own throat, still I'm going to try to help. Not that, hey, let me try to help you. And, because I'm trying to help you, you should listen to me who's trying to help you. And, what? You're not listening? Can't you see what you're doing to yourself? Oh, forget it then. If you don't, I mean, if that's the way you want to be, then, hey, I've been my fault. That's you. Now, to bring your preaching to another level, you're going to have to learn how to be compassionate, even when the person is cutting their own throat. And it's tough at first. Can you imagine, a material example, just being around somebody who's, you know, cutting their wrists? You know, you can't walk out and just say, hey, forget it, why are you killing yourself? Ridiculous, I don't have time to waste on you. I've already explained to you so often how cutting your wrists is not in your suffering. Just now, here you are doing it again. I'm perfectly justified in walking away. But no, they have to stay there and preach to the person. Don't cut through this. Stop it. That's when your compassion is really at another level. So this is what's necessary for people to do for any kind of preachers. They've got to withstand the emotional impact of seeing people destroying themselves. And hang in there. You've got to hang in there. Keep on trying to give the cure. That is difficult. And sometimes they even, you know, start spitting at you. I'm still be able to hang in there. You never give up trying in general, but you may stop from trying to help a person because it's just, they just refuse to listen. That doesn't mean you give up trying to help. It may mean that for this particular person, it's not really productive, but you go on trying to help others. But the usual tendency is, oh, because I tried to help you and you didn't listen, I'm just giving up this helping business. Completely. That's the way it usually works. I just cross the board. So my point, especially for the Sankirtan devotees and preachers, is that you've got to become accustomed to hanging in there, even when people are just cutting their own throats right in front of your eyes. You just can't. I've seen too much. I had enough of this. You've got to hang in there and go on administering Krishna consciousness. Then your compassion has really matured. This is what it takes to be like a lifelong book distributor. You've got to be able to have a lifelong expression of compassion, not just a temporary thing. You reach a point where you just, I'm tired of caring for these people. How many of them read the books anyway? Then you're starting to get brittle. You don't know what brittle is. Yeah. You probably don't read the books anyway. So many books have been distributed in the past. Find something else to do. But to be able to, year after year, go on giving out Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's like Prabhupada, you read from his Lamas about his efforts. In India, distributing his back to God is single-handedly. Just because the spiritual master ordered him to do so. It's a wonderful thing to mature and compassion. Worth trying for it. It's worth it. Any other examples of emotion in Krishna consciousness?
When you say it, I just look at it five or six and last week I saw two California high school police officers in the park.
Yes, distributing Prabhupada books is a very emotional experience. There are the ups and the downs, and the blah days. Gradually, though, if you're doing the service right, your heart is developing. You're not so sure about this? That sounded really mechanical. Yeah, that's what they say. Anyway, now. Yeah, emotional. How do you get emotional in the kitchen?
Right.
But if you made it every day, then you're not conscious.
No, you're always conscious of that. You just make it more conscious. You're conscious. You're someone that you're working with.
Yeah. while you're cooking, are you always thinking,
this is being made for Krishna's pleasure, let me
do it to my best ability? That is Krishna. Whatever you're doing, even if you're washing the pots or chopping vegetables, whatever, always think, this is an offering to Krishna. Anything else? Ganesh, how do you get emotional? You throw the pots against the wall. Yes. Like we heard in the Brahmin temple this morning, the breakfast on the Prabhupada, getting so angry that the Brahmin temple wasn't finished. When he wanted, yelling at everyone, they would go hide in their rooms. So, there's a place for anger in Krishna consciousness. We have to be careful about that. We want to see that Krishna is served very nicely. There's no doubt about that. Nothing can compare to rendering service to Krishna. And certainly sometimes it is austere being with so many other devotees. But that association with devotees, it brings you enlivenment in Krishna's service. It's not simply that there's, you know, just personal disagreements, people rubbing you the wrong way. You also get enthused, become more enthusiastic in serving Krishna. You have to look at the whole picture. Yes, we're sad when persons stop their Krishna consciousness. Because you think, what are they going to do now? The senses have to have some ingredient. If they're not serving Krishna, what are they going to be doing? And you become sad. This is your friend here. So your heart and soul is your singing.
Yes.
And the computer work is to pay the bills. So you sing any, all kinds of music?
Yeah, pretty much. Whatever.
Opera?
Well, I try. I have, not since I was 15.
Rap music?
No, I stay away from that.
Okay, what kind of music do you sing?
I guess folky stuff, you could call it, mild rock and roll, maybe a little bit of something mild and nice, that's a little bit.
So, you express your heart in that way.
Yes.
And it seems nice to express the heart, doesn't it? Well, that's what we're doing in Krishna consciousness. We are actually expressing the spiritual heart. In the spiritual world, the spiritual heart has perfect emotions. And so our efforts to serve Krishna are reviving our original pure spiritual heart, and the original pure emotions. You'll find that the best music you can make is to chant Hare Krishna. Nothing compares to that emotion. Now, I hope that some of you are starting to reconsider your approach to bhakti yoga, and you're going to try to keep your hearts into everything. I think I've told you before about a very nice verse from the fourth canto, where it stated, the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, stated that, for the sincere devotee, the super soul from within your heart makes your devotional service ever fresh. So it's the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma, that changes your perception and lets you see that every day, every opportunity in Krishna's service is ever fresh. Otherwise, you may wonder, how is it that people just like be here for, like your husband's been here for 26, 27 years. How do you feel the same, you know, the same block, the same street for 27 years, you know? He lives here, he works here. No one does like that in the material world, really. Well, maybe let's say a peasant who has a house and some land, but generally they have to walk somewhere, you know, to get to their land where they're cultivating. But here, you know, this building was here when your husband, you know, came in 35. His service is right on this, you know, basically doesn't, you know, walk more than a tenth of a mile back and forth. You know, the same world for 27 years, the same, you know, orbit of one tenth of a mile, you know. Probably less than one tenth of a mile. Now, how is that possible? If you want to avoid settling in a routine, then you do your service in such a way that the super soul in your heart lets you see the ever-fresh spiritual world in your efforts. So this is what we should desire. This is what we should help each other to do. Does it seem possible? But you've got to hanker for this. You have to hanker for this. You have to have some desire. That's what I'm trying to do tonight, to increase your desire for this. And beg Krishna for this freshness. Beg Krishna that you can see this vision of freshness. Talking about bhakti yoga. We're particularly talking about rendering service to Krishna, because that's the only real opportunity we show love. In reference to temporary things and temporary situations, you cannot fully or really show love, because there's a distortion present in that the object of your so-called love is temporary. The arrangements are temporary. You yourself are a temporary material arrangement. But when you try to show love for Krishna, the object of your love is eternal and unlimited. And the process, the authorized process for showing love to Krishna, is eternal with unlimited possibilities. So what we're particularly speaking about, emotions in Krishna's service. Because Krishna's service is the real thing.
Thank you.
we chant Hare Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna is eternally exciting. Krishna's service is eternally exciting. Let's think, yeah. I want you all, as you leave here tonight, to think what you can do tomorrow to come alive more in devotional service. Do you have anybody can say anything? What you can practically do tomorrow. Yeah. Anyone else?
We're
bringing
some prasadams to the San Marcos community tomorrow.
But I'm speaking more about attitude. Because if you were going to do that anyway, can you bring a fresh attitude to what you're doing? Bhakti is about attitude. Krishna, you jump out of bed with you like, I am Krishna's servant. Will you do that?
I love
it. Who's his roommate?
No, I think so.
Okay, can you let me know if he's doing it? Your alarm goes off and Krishna. You used to be like that, didn't you? Then what happened? Something else took your heart. Complacent. Yeah, you used to be like that. What happened? Well, you did it before you. That means you can do it again, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Anyone else? What can you do tomorrow? Yeah, that's right. Oh, I remember. Did Al tell you I was watching you when you were cleaning around the Vyasa Sun, probably Vyasa Sun, sorry. Did he tell you?
Yes.
Such devotion. What were you doing? You were cleaning
the water up.
Yes. Very good.
So just do something that I have expected.
Or do it, do something that you do every day, but do it unexpectedly well. Be very conscientious about it. You can also jump up in the morning. I am Krishna's servant, Hare Krishna. You might as well have a good time, you know? You can do that, right, sir? Why do we have to make Krishna conscious of a drag? You know, like, get happy about it, you know? Yeah? Love of Krishna is shown through your service attitude. So therefore we're discussing how you can put more light into your service attitude. Sarah, you haven't said anything. What can you do tomorrow, Jill?
Well,
every day put your heart into what you're doing. I am teaching Krishna to children. Now you see, what can we do tomorrow practically? Subject, you know, one of my favorite subjects, coming alive in Krishna consciousness, putting your heart to your service. What do you think?
I can do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Come on. That's true. So that I'm trying to really clock it, the troubles.
You always wanted to do the colleges and other places, right? Did you do that? It's all the same thing to Luke, you know? And Krishna's in control, you know? And Krishna wants something to happen, it happens. You know? And then you're most satisfied that way, aren't you? You really feel satisfied. Well, I didn't make these arrangements, but it just happens, you know? And you're acting peaceful, aren't you? That's another subject matter for discussion. How to let Krishna do things. How not to get in the way. But also how not to use Krishna as an excuse. I'll let Krishna do it. And then he's going to go to sleep. Fascinating subject matter. Oh, our young friend from, where is it, Wyoming? Huh? South Dakota. So what realization do you have for tonight? How can you put, you know, more heart into what you're doing? Not talking so much trash. Think about these things. It can make the greatest difference in your life. Don't make Krishna consciousness into a same old, same robot-like activity. Don't do that. That's spoiling your greatest gift. Okay, well, we were going to get to nectar devotion. I guess we'll see that soon. Actually, we should start at, best we start at 7 o'clock instead of 6:30. Tomorrow we start at 7. please think about these things. You could turn your whole Krishna consciousness around just by focusing on this point, putting your heart into what you're doing. Remember what it was like when most of you first came to Krishna consciousness? Everything was so new and fresh. It still is. All right. Thank you very much.